జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ వాసుదేవాయ ఏకాదినస్య అక్రూర గాథ్యర్ ఉపరే వాసి మహాప్రభు కిచ్చు కొరిన విచారే. వన్ డే శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు sat at the bathing ghat of a Akrura Tirtham and thought the following thoughts purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Akrura Tirtha is located on the road between Vrindavan and Mathura. When Krishna and Balaram were being taken to Mathura by Akrura, the Lord rested at this place and took his bath in the Jamuna. When Krishna and Balaram took their baths, Akrura saw the entire world of Vaikuntha within the water. The inhabitants of Vrindavan also saw the Vaikuntha planets within the water. ఏగాతి అక్రూర వైకుంత దేకిలా వ్రజవాసి లోక గోలోక దర్శన్ కౌలా. శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు thought, at this bathing place, Akrura saw Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and all the inhabitants of Vraja saw Goloka Vrindavan. ఏకబాళి జంపదిలా జలిరా ఉపారే While considering how Akrura remained within the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately jumped in and stayed under the water for some time. Deki Krishna Dasakande Pukara Korila Bhattacharya Sigra Asi Prabhude Uthaila. When Krishna Das saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drowning, he cried and shouted very loudly. Balabhadra Bhattacharya immediately came and pulled the Lord out. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is herein describing one of the many unlimited pastimes that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed while he was living here in Vrindavan. During the second half of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 2 months visit to Vrindavan Dham, this was his residence, Sri Akrura Ghat. As you have seen the beautiful darshan of the deities Akrura, Krishna, and Balaram, there is a great history to this place, which I would like to make some insignificant attempt of trying to describe. The Vrijavasis observe Akadasi, and the morning of Dwadasi, Nanda Maharaj went to take his bath in the holy river Jamuna. There was a place called Nanda Ghat, some distance away, in a very secluded part of Brijbhumi, where this wonderful pastime took place. Nanda Maharaj took his bath early morning, before the sun even rose. At that time, one of the agents of Varuna considered that Nanda Maharaj was bathing at an inauspicious time, it was too early in the morning for him to take bath. Therefore, he arrested Nanda Maharaj and brought him to the kingdom of Varuna. When the Gopas could not find Nanda Maharaj anywhere, they were calling out for Krishna to save the father. So Krishna and Balaram, out of their causeless mercy, they went to the beautiful, beautiful celestial kingdom of Varuna. Varuna was sitting on a beautiful throne, decorated with so much opulence. He is the king of all of the oceans, of all of the bodies of water in the entire universe. Nanda Maharaj was so much impressed by seeing the elegance and opulence, the power, majesty of Varuna. Then he saw his little boy Krishna come into the assembly, Gopa, decorated with the flowers of Vrindavan and a feather from a peacock, local Vrindavan peacock. Varuna got off of his throne, offered his dandavat obeisances to child Krishna, put him on his own throne, washed his feet, and worshipped him with all of his opulence. Krishna said, "Please return my father." And Varuna said, "Actually, this messenger of mine that arrested him is a great fool. He should not have done this. I never sanctioned this." Actually, Nanda Maharaj bathed at a perfectly auspicious time, but the messenger of Varuna miscalculated the particular tithi according to the astrology, and therefore he wrongly accused Nanda Maharaj and arrested him. So Varuna very gladly was very happy that even though my messenger made a mistake, the result is I received your most holy darshan, so I am very much grateful. So Nanda Maharaj returned with Krishna back to Braj Bhumi. Nanda Maharaj was telling the Brajbasis what he saw, what was the kingdom of Varuna like, and how Varuna was worshipping our little child as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While they were talking about it, the residents of Vrindavan momentarily realized that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He's the Lord of all lords. Even the demigods worship him only. So they were thinking themselves so fortunate. They are living in this little village of Vrindavan. But if they are the intimate associates of the Supreme Lord, what will be their destination after they give up their bodies? Krishna understood what the Brijavasis were thinking in their hearts. So he took them to this place where we are sitting right now. At that time, the river Jamuna flowed right where we are sitting. Jamuna, over the centuries, moves from place to place in Vrindavan. Even when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living here, the Jamuna was still flowing right by here. Now it is about a kilometer away. So they were all on the banks of Jamuna, thinking like this: what will be our destination if we are such intimate associates of the Supreme God? Krishna, knowing their heart, revealed to all the residents of Vrindavan the spiritual world. It was here, at Akrura Tirtha, that Krishna revealed to them, beyond the limits of material existence, the ever-effulgent, unlimited Brahma-jyoti. And within that Brahma-jyoti, there were innumerable Vaikuntha planets where Lord Narayan is residing, worshipped with love and affection by his devotees. And they saw, above all the Vaikuntha planets, was the supreme planet of Krishna Loka, the eternal residence of Lord Krishna and Balaram. They saw that Goloka Vrindavan was the supreme ultimate destination, the highest perfection of spiritual realization. And when they looked into Goloka Vrindavan by Krishna's divine mercy, they actually got to see it. What did they see? They saw it was identical to the Vrindavan that they were living in here in this world. There was Krishna, Balaram herding the cows. There was the Kalpavriksha trees and the Jamuna and Govardhan. They realized that they were not only destined to go to the ultimate place in the spiritual sky, but they were living in the ultimate place in the spiritual sky. Sri Krishna Balaram ki. That divine vision took place here at Akrura. Krishna was living in Nandagaon, where we visited yesterday, from the age of 6 years and 8 months, when he was about 10 years and 7 months, almost 11 years old. Kamsa was sending so many demons to Vrindavan. He sent Aristasura at Radhakund. We described this wonderful story, how Krishna kicked that big bull with his lotus foot and he died. After Aristasura died, Narada Muni wanted to speed up the demise of Kamsa. Narada came to Mathura and he said to Kamsa, I want to tell you a secret. All these demons that you're sending, they're all being killed by the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Do you know why? Because the child of Yashoda was actually a daughter. The child of Vasudeva was actually a son. That son was Krishna. Vasudev, secretly, in the middle of the night, he escaped from your prison, brought Krishna to Gokul, and switched him with the daughter of Yashoda. And when that Durga Devi appeared in the sky and told you that the son of Devaki is born somewhere else, he will kill you. That son is living in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And not only Krishna, but Balaram is also the son of Vasudeva and Rohini. And he is the person that the demigods worship. He is the worst person that is destined to kill you. When Kamsa heard this, he was so angry, he drew his sword and was about to cut off the head of Vasudeva for playing this terrible, terrible trick against him. Narada Muni said, you have no danger from Vasudeva. You should go to find Krishna and Balaram. They are the ones that are killing all your demon friends. So Kamsa was very, very agitated. He put Vasudeva and Devaki in very powerful shackles and he decided, I will kill them, but first I must kill Krishna and Balaram. So he called Akrura. And Kamsa was a very good diplomat. He very gently took Akrura by the hand and said, you are so noble, honorable, full of all good qualities. You are so gentle, and most of all, you are obedient. Just as Indra is obedient to Lord Vishnu, similarly, you are a very obedient person. I want to give you an order. I have discovered by Narada Muni's words that Krishna and Balaram are the actual children of Vasudeva and Devaki that are meant to kill me. I want you to bring them to Mathura because I will kill them. I have a brand new chariot for you to drive. Kamsa was thinking that the Akrura to see such a beautiful, beautiful, brand new chariot, he would be excited to want to drive it. So he would be more favorable to going to Vrindavan. But in Akrura's mind, he was thinking like a Vaishnava. He was thinking, I cannot pick up Krishna Balaram in an old chariot or in a chariot that Kamsa is driven in. He was thinking, this is very appropriate. I can get Krishna Balaram and give him a nice ride in a brand new chariot. Kamsa said, today is Chaturdasi. It is auspicious day. You should go to Vrindavan. You should bring Krishna back with Balaram. After they are killed, I will kill Vasudev, who is a liar and a cheater. I will kill Ugrasena, who is lusting after my kingdom. And also you tell Nanda and the Gopas that they should also come and bring gifts and various offerings to present to me. So Akrura, he told Kamsa that according to the will of providence, you may be successful or you may not be successful in what you want, but still I will execute your order. So the next morning, Akrura boarded the chariot and set out for Vrindavan. As he was riding on the chariot, he was meditating with great excitement how fortunate he was that on that very day he would behold the wonderful darshan of Krishna Balaram. He was praying to Krishna all the way. You are the supreme Godhead. You are the master of all masters. You are the creator of everything that exists. You are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, Sanatan, and all the great rishis and sages. You are the source of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. Everything is operating under your divine direction. And you are so merciful to your devotees. Today I will come to Vrindavan to see Krishna. I will see the beautiful cowherd community that he is performing his eternal pastime. Akrura was so very much happy. He was thinking in his heart that Krishna is in the heart of every living being. He knows my motives. He knows that I am his servant, that I am surrendered to him. Even though I am coming as a messenger of Kamsa, he will know that I am only coming to serve him and please him. When he entered the Nandagaon area, he saw in the dust of the ground the footprint of Krishna, marked with all the auspicious symbols of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akrura fell in that dust and started rolling in the dust, crying, O Krishna, O Govinda, O Krishna, O Govinda. He was rolling in the dust of Krishna's lotus footprint, rolling in the dust of the footprints of his devotees and his cows. Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas explain, even though Akrura was a very, very powerful and highly respected kshatriya, he understood how to enter Vrindavan. You cannot enter Vrindavan and understand if we have any false ego whatsoever. Even Rupa Goswami, he told Jiva Goswami, after Jiva Goswami defeated the great Digvijaya Pandit, he said, no one can understand or is qualified to be in Vrindavan if they have even one drop of false pride in their hearts. So he banished Jiva Goswami to Mathura. Of course, Jiva Goswami was pure. But this example was just to show the glories of Jiva Goswami to the world. So, in a similar way, Akrura, although having a big, big position, he was so utterly humble and prideless when he entered Vrindavan, He rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, every living entity, every devotee. He wanted to roll and roll in the dust of their lotus feet and worship them. Until we have this consciousness, we may physically be in Vrindavan, but Krishna does not reveal what is truly Vrindavan. This is one of the most important of all stories to understand how Akura humbled himself to the utmost degree to roll in the dust of the feet of Krishna and his devotees. And his eyes were flowing with tears of gratitude to be in this most fortunate place. It was just at that time the sun was about to set, and he heard the cows being milked. Krishna and Balaram were just in the process of going to milk cows, and Akura saw them, and he fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna said, "Oh, my dear uncle," lifted him up and embraced him. Then Balaramji, with sweet words, took Akura by the hand and brought him to their home at Nandagaon. There, Balaram, the original expansion of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada said, the difference between Krishna and Balaram is only that Krishna is blue like a rain cloud in the monsoon season, and Balaram is white like a cloud in the spring season, in complexion. So Balaramji offered Akura a sitting place. Balaramji personally washed the feet of Akura, gave him nice edibles, worshipped him, honored him, offered him sweet words. After Akura took his bath, which was so nicely arranged by Krishna Balaram, they gave him a beautiful feast. And then they began to speak. Krishna's Nanda Maharaj asked Akura, how are you faring in Mathura? But how is it possible that anyone could fare well in Mathura when Kamsa is there? He is the ruler and the king. He is so cruel. He murdered 6 daughters of Devaki, even though she cried piteously and helplessly for his mercy. There was a wonderful discussion where Krishna and Balaram and the Maharaj were talking with Akura in very friendly, loving ways. Then Akura explained the whole situation of Mathura. And in the conclusion of this description, he told what was my mission. That Kamsa has personally sent me to bring Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura. And he wants Nanda and the gopas to bring gifts for him. When Krishna heard about this wrestling match and Kamsa's plot to kill him, Krishna and Balaram laughed. They said, "Yes, we will go tomorrow." The news came out in Vrindavan that Nanda and the gopas were going to accompany Krishna and Balaram to Mathura on the invitation of Kamsa. This news struck the hearts of the gopis just like a thunderbolt. I would like to read to you from Srimad Bhagavatam how Sukadev Goswami describes this. When the young gopis heard that Akura had come to Braja to take Krishna and Balaram to the city, they became extremely distressed. Some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. Others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets, and braids became loose. Other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. And still, other young women fainted simply by remembering the words of Lord Sri Krishna. These words, decorated with wonderful phrases and expressed with affectionate smiles, would deeply touch the gopis' hearts. The gopis were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Lord Mukunda. So now, as they remembered his graceful gait, his pastimes, his affectionate smiling glances, his heroic deeds, and his joking words, which would relieve their distress, they were beside themselves with anxiety at the thought of the great separation about to come. They gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta. The gopis said, "O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then senselessly separate them before they fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is like a child's game. Having shown us Mukunda's face, framed by dark locks and beautified by his fine cheeks, raised nose, and gentle smiles, which eradicate all misery, you are now making that face invisible. This behavior of yours is not at all good. O Providence, though you come here with the name Akura, you are indeed cruel, for like a fool, you are taking away what you have once given us. Those eyes with which we have seen, even in one feature of Madhavisa's form, the perfection of your entire creation." Purport: the gopis did not care to see anything but Krishna. Therefore, if Krishna left Vrindavan, their eyes would have no function. Thus, Krishna's departure was blinding these poor girls, and in their distress, they berated Akura, whose name means not cruel, as cruel indeed. Translation: alas, Nanda's son, who breaks loving friendships in a second, will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandoned our homes, relatives, children, and husbands just to serve him, but he is always looking for new lovers. The dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled, for as the Lord of Braja enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of his eyes. When the Dasarhas, Bhojas, and Andakas, Vrishnis, and Satvatas see the sons of Devaki in Mathura, they will certainly enjoy a great festival for their eyes, as will all those who see him traveling along the road to the city. After all, he is the darling of the goddess of fortune and the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He who is doing this merciless deed should not be called a cruel. He is so extremely cruel that without even trying to console the sorrowful residents of Raja, he is taking away Krishna, who is more dear to us than life itself. Hard-hearted Krishna has already mounted the chariot, and now the foolish cowherds are hurrying after him in their bullock carts. Even the elders are saying nothing to stop him. Today fate is working against us. Sridhar Swami reveals the thoughts of the gopis. These foolish cowherd men and elders are not even trying to stop Krishna. Don't they realize they are committing suicide? They are helping Krishna to go to Mathura, but they will have to come back to Vrindavan and will certainly die in his absence. the whole world has become nonsensical. Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us? Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association even for a second. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti describes what the gopis thought. Would you like to hear? Let us go right up to Krishna and pull at his clothes and hands and insist that he get down from his chariot and stay here with us. We will tell him, don't bring upon yourself the sinful reaction for murdering so many women. But if we do that, said other gopis, our relatives and the village elders will discover our secret love for Krishna and abandon us. Another gopi said, but what can they do to us? Yes, our lives are already wretched now that Krishna is leaving. We have nothing to lose. That's right. We will remain in the Vrindavan forest just like presiding goddesses. And then we can fulfill our true desire to stay with Krishna in the forest. Yes. And even if the elders and our relatives punish us by beating us or locking us up, we can still live happily with the knowledge that Krishna is residing in our village. Some of our girlfriends who are not imprisoned will cleverly find a way to bring us the remnants of Krishna's food, and then we can remain alive. But if Krishna is not stopped, we will certainly die. Translation. When he brought us to the assembly of the Rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. Oh, gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? Were the gopis a long time in Krishna's association passed like a moment, and a single moment in his absence seemed like a very long time? How can we exist without Ananta's friend, Krishna, who in the evening would return to Braja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves. As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. Shukadev Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Braja, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. Purport. For a long time the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna. But now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed that they could no longer hide their feelings. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Led by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. The men brought along many offerings for the king, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. With his glances, Lord Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis, and they also followed behind for some time. Then, hoping he would give them some instructions, they stood still. As he departed, the best of the yadus saw the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending a messenger with his loving promise, I will return. Sending their minds after Krishna, the gopis stood as motionless as figures in a painting. They remained there as long as the flag atop the chariot was visible, and even until they could no longer see the dust raised by the chariot wheels. The gopis then turned back, without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. Full of sorrow, they began to spend the days and night chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. The gopis laying their bodies in front of the chariot, pleading and begging, weeping and crying. Somehow we're trying to convince Krishna to remain with them in Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami explains, externally, Krishna left Vrindavan because so many terrible demons were attacking. And in order to fulfill his promise to rid the earth of the asuras and to ultimately kill Kamsa as well, he left Vrindavan for Mathura and then Dwarka. But internally, Krishna left Vrindavan in his manifested physical form to increase the love of the gopis. Because in their separation, the intimacy of their remembrance of him was greater than ever before. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna always remains within the hearts of the gopis, reciprocating with their loving feelings. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other great commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam describe, as Krishna was riding in the chariot with Akura, he was somehow or other concealing his own inner emotions, for he was terribly suffering the separation of gopis. Akura then came to this place with his chariot. Krishna Balaram got off the chariot to sprinkle the water of the Jamuna and in this way take bath and drink the water of the resplendent nectarine Jamuna. They came back to sit on the chariot, and Krishna and Balaram gave Akrura permission to take his ritualistic bath. Akrura, at this place, entered Jamuna. While he was taking his bath in Jamuna, he saw Krishna and Balaram in the Jamuna. How is this possible? Krishna and Balaram is in a nice shady place on the chariot. He went back to the chariot and he saw Krishna and Balaram sitting with nice smiles on their face on the chariot. He went back to the Jamuna and he saw again Krishna and Balaram in the Jamuna. But then what was manifested before him? Balaram manifested his beautiful form of Anantashesha, beautiful white serpent, with thousands of hoods, each decorated with beautiful crowns. And laying on top of Sri Anantashesha was Krishna in his form of Lord Narayan, with his four arms, bedecked with all the ornaments of Vaikuntha, the beautiful, beautiful bluish form, lotus eyes glancing upon Akrura. He saw Rudra, Brahma, the four Kumaras. He saw all the demigods, all the sages and rishis gathered around offering prayers to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Akrura was standing with folded palms and began to offer beautiful, beautiful prayers of love. The whole scene then disappeared within a moment. And Akrura bowed down and came out of the water of Jamuna and came to the chariot. And there Krishna and Balaram were sitting on chariot, smiling at him. Krishna said, "Akrura, you look like you have just seen something wonderful. What have you seen?" Akrura, with folded hands, he said, "By seeing you, I am seeing everything. With my eyes, I am seeing you. Everything is within you. When I see you, everything is fulfilled in my life." Rupa Goswami explains, when you circumambulate the temple of Vishnu three times, you should understand you have circumambulated all the universes, because everything is within Krishna. We are attracted to seeing so many things in this world, but when we see Krishna, we have seen everything in its most perfected essence. Because Krishna is the all-attractive, supreme object of everyone's love. Then Akrura boarded his chariot, and with tears of ecstasy flowing from his face, he proceeded on the journey to Mathura. So that wonderful, wonderful pastime took place there. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Sri Braj Bhumi, he lived here for some time in Akrura Ghat. I would like to briefly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left from Puri with Balabhadra Bhattacharya and one assistant. As they were traveling through Jarikanda forest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the ecstasy of thinking that I will soon be in Vrindavan, was spreading the glories of the holy name in such a merciful way that the tigers, the snakes, the elephants, the insects, the deers, the trees, every living entity that came anywhere near his path in Jarikanda became completely purified in Krishna prema. Mahaprabhu induced all of them to dance in ecstasy according to their capacity and loudly chant the holy name. Those of you who are in the sun, this is the shadiest place, even though there may be some transcendental stones. You'll be more comfortable sitting on these stones than in the sun, I think. So anyone who would like can come here. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the city of Mathura, he offered his most prostrated obeisances to the land of Mathura. Then he went, first place he visited was Vishram Ghat. Vishram Ghat is the place where, in the Satya Yuga, Lord Varahadev, after killing Hiranyaksha, he came and took rest at Vishram Ghat. And it was there that his beloved goddess of the earth, Bhumi Devi, inquired from Lord Varahadev into the highest truths of life. And it was at Vishram Ghat that Varahadev spoke the Adi Varaha Purana. In this particular Purana are some of the most important authorized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan, which is quoted profusely by our great Vaishnava Acharyas. Later on, Krishna, after he killed Kamsa at Kamsteel, do you remember during Ratha Yatra, we passed right by that place. It was the place that Krishna killed Kuvaliyapida, close by. Then he killed Chanura and Mushtika. Then on that little mountain, Krishna dragged Kamsa down from his throne and beat him with his fist till he was dead. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Then he Krishna was thinking that Devaki and Vasudev, they are so much afraid of Kamsa because he has caused so much trouble to them for so many years that I have to make sure that they have no more fear. So he started dragging Kamsa around by his hair just to make it very well known that Kamsa is dead. Then Krishna went to Vishramghat, and there he took his bath and he took rest. Also, after Krishna killed the great demon Dantavakra, many years later, there is a village in Braja which is named after Dantavakra. Then Krishna actually came back into Vrindavan, and again he took his bath and rested at Vishramghat. Then he came to Vrindavan to give the devotees his long, long awaited association. He fulfilled all the desires of Brijabasis, and then he brought all of them back to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Then he returned to Dwarka to complete his divine pastimes on this earth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Vishramghat, and in great ecstatic love, remembering these divine pastimes, he rested and took his bath. He then went to Janmastan, where he saw the beautiful deity of Keshavdev. Keshavdev is one of the four devas installed by Vajranath, the great grandson of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance and dance in transcendental ecstasy, and he was inducing everyone around in Mathura to join his kirtan, chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare.
The people of Mathura were astonished to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, his beautiful golden form trembling in ecstatic love. No one has ever seen such beauty. They were thinking, our beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Nanda Nanda, has incarnated again in this beautiful form of a sannyasi, and has returned to Mathura to fulfill all of our desires. While this kirtan was going on, a Brahmin approached Lord Chaitanya and offered his dandavat obeisances. Lord Chaitanya lifted up this Brahmin, and the Brahmin began to dance in ecstasy. Both Lord Chaitanya and this Brahmin were dancing and dancing and dancing in ecstatic love with the loud sound of the holy names. Seeing the ecstatic dance of this Sanodiya Brahmin, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately embraced him. The pujari of the Keshavaji deity came with the deity's own garland and placed it around Lord Chaitanya's neck. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after dancing and chanting for a long time with the people of Mathura, he brought this Brahmin to a secluded place and inquired from him, from where have you obtained this ecstatic love? The Sanodiya Brahmin replied that many years ago, the great Vaishnav saint Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura. He accepted me as his disciple, bestowed his causeless mercy upon me. He even took his meals at my home. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he fell and offered his prostrated dandavat obeisances at the feet of this Brahmin. Meanwhile, the Brahmin felt so ashamed, he offered his dandavat obeisances at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, you are on the level of my guru. The Sanodiya Brahmin, he asked Lord Chaitanya, do you have some connection with Madhavendra Puri? How can such ecstatic love be manifesting from your heart? Lord Sri Chaitanya told him that I am the disciple of your godbrother, Ishwara Puri, and by his mercy, Madhavendra Puri's great compassion has come into my life. The Sanodiya Brahman invited Lord Chaitanya to his home. And he brought all sorts of nice bhoga. And he said, I will give it now to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, your assistant, to cook for you. Lord Chaitanya said, why don't you cook it? He said, because I am not qualified. I am a Sanodiya Brahman. Amongst Brahmins, as you know, there are various categories. There is high-class Brahmins and there is low-class Brahmins. Sanodiya Brahman is considered a very low class of Brahmins. And generally, sannyasis will never take food from a Sanodiya Brahman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, but Madhavendra Puri took food from the home. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Vedas, the Puranas, the sages, and the Rishis, oftentimes they are not in agreement. It is the behavior of the great pure devotees of the Lord that establishes the real religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri is the essence of all such religious principles. The true path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri has taken your food. It will be my great, great fortune. So the Sanodiya Brahman very happily, he began to praise Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he cooked prasad for Lord Chaitanya. Soon the people of Mathura found out that Krishna has returned in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And lakhs of people came to the house of the Sanodiya Brahman. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very mercifully came out to meet all of them, and with his arms raised, he ordered everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, Hariho! The people of Mathura began to dance and dance and dance to the kirtans of the holy name. From Mathura, Lord Chaitanya decided to perform the Braj Mandala Parikrama. First, he took his bath in all the 24 ghats of Mathura. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought both Balabhadra Bhattacharya and the Sanodiya Brahman with him to go to the various forests of Vrindavan. After visiting the various holy places of Mathura, he entered into the forest. There, a herd of cows happened to hear the chanting. They raised their ears to drink the nectar of the holy name. When they saw the beautiful sight of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing through the forest of Vrindavan, the cows began to moo very, very loudly in ecstatic love. Then they all came and made circles around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The cows were looking at Lord Chaitanya with unblinking eyes, tears rolling from their lotus eyes. Affectionately, just like an old friend who has returned home after a long time, they began to lick the beautiful transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can possibly calculate the good fortune of these cows? Personally licking, not just once, but again and again and again, the ambrosial golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya would put his arm around their necks and simply weep and cry in affection for his cows. The cows followed Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya loudly chanted the holy names of the Lord. And the deers of Vrindavan heard this chanting. They all came running to see their old friend, Krishna, who has appeared in this beautiful, beautiful golden form. The deers with unblinking lotus-like eyes were weeping tears of ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya was caressing them and holding them by their necks, and they too began to affectionately lick the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The bumblebees started coming all around, buzzing, singing beautiful, beautiful songs in the bumblebee ragas. If you remember when we were at Pilipokar, some bees came to greet us. In fact, Narasimha Kavacha was stung by, I think, 14 bees. Very auspicious number. And we had to leave that place. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, the bees, they were singing beautiful songs, having kirtan all around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to welcome him back to Sri Brajadhan. And the birds, all the varieties of birds were in such ecstasy as the cows and the deers were dancing and chanting and mooing in ecstasy. The birds just started going wild in ecstasy, flying around in different ways in the sky just for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The cuckoos began to sing. The parrots were singing such sweet, sweet sounds. All the birds together began to chant kirtan in the fifth note of the scale of music. They were singing and singing simply to welcome Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to Vrindavan. The peacocks, so many peacocks, they all gathered before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, opened their beautiful, beautiful tails and danced. How they danced before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to reciprocate with the loving offerings of each of these devotees. The trees and the creepers, they were jubilant upon seeing Lord Chaitanya in the forest of Vrindavan. Their hairs in the form of twigs and leaves and flowers started standing on end in ecstatic love. And in the form of honey, all the trees and creepers began to shed tears of ecstasy as they trembled and trembled as the kirtan of the holy name was being sung. Each tree and each fruit and each creeper began to grow beautiful, fully blossomed fruits and flowers, and each one bent down personally and placed them at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was as if old friends were meeting after a long time. Lord Sri Chaitanya came under the control of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of returning to Vrindavan, began to embrace each and every tree and creeper he would see, weeping and crying in ecstatic love. And all moving and non-moving beings welcomed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya came into one forest area, and he saw two beautiful, beautiful parrots on a tree. These two parrots then flew off the tree right on Lord Chaitanya's hand. They began to speak to each other. If you remember, at Bandiravan, Dinabandhu Prabhu in great detail described their conversation. There was a male parrot named Shuka and a female parrot named Shari. And they began to have a loving debate over the supremacy of Radha or Krishna. Sukha said that my Krishna, he is the enchanter of Cupid. He is so attractive. And Sari said, but your Krishna, his crown falls off and his flute comes out of his hands when he sees the attraction of Sri Radharani. In this way, there was a wonderful, wonderful discussion, a transcendental debate. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great, great astonishment, was listening to them. Then they flew back into the tree. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw the beautiful dancing peacocks, and when he witnessed the bluish color of their necks, it brought him such a divine remembrance of Krishna that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious. Balabhadra Bhattacharya had to sprinkle water to somehow or other bring Lord Chaitanya out of his state of ecstasy as he chanted the holy names and fanned the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, when he finally came out, he started rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, not even caring if he rolled in the thorns and stones. He simply found the great, great happiness of rolling in the sacred dust of Sri Vrindavan town. Lord Chaitanya was somehow or other pacified by Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya then ordered the Sanodiya Brahman and Balabhadra to dance with him in Kirtan. So they all began to dance. Here Lord Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, when he would remember Vrindavan, the ecstasy of his love of Krishna would increase 100 times. As the Lord was traveling through the Jarikanda forest, that ecstasy increased 100 times. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Mathura, that ecstasy entered 1,000 times, increased 1,000 times. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was roaming through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy was increasing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times. Kaviraj Goswami explains, even Ananta Shesha, if he spoke millions and millions and millions of books, he could not possibly begin to describe the ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya as he was roaming through the forests of Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, by my narration, I am simply pointing in the direction of what Mahaprabhu performed in his Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya then came to Aritagram, where he was inquiring about where is Radha Kund and Shama Kund. In the Padma Purana, it is described, this is the supreme, most intimate of all holy places in all of existence. But no one knew anything. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then happened to see two small ponds in a secluded paddy field. Mahaprabhu, by his divine vision, could witness the beauty of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. In great, great ecstatic love, he bathed first in Shamakund, then in Radhakund. As he was bathing, the local villagers was wondering, who is this? Why is this person bathing in some puddles in a rice paddy? Look at him, how beautiful. It must be Krishna himself who has returned to Vrindavan. After bathing in Radhakund and Shamakund, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered beautiful, beautiful prayers. Of all the gopis, Sri Radharani is most dear to Krishna. And similarly, this lake, Sri Radhakund, is so dear to Krishna, supremely dear to Krishna. That Sri Radharani's love for Krishna is supreme, And anyone who takes bath even once in Sri Radha Kunj will get the mercy of Sri Radharani, and that same type of Krishna prema will come into their hearts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance and dance on the banks of Sri Radha Kunj. He took the clay from that kund and he put the 12 marks of tilak on his beautiful golden form. He took more clay and tied it in a cloth so he could take it with him wherever he went. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the Sumana Lake, which is now Kusum Sarovar, and he took his bath there, worshipped the place that Sri Radharani and the gopis would pick flowers to offer to Krishna. Then he went to Govardhan. When he saw a rock from Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately began to embrace it, weeping tears of ecstatic love. He saw that every stone of Govardhan Hill was none different than the very body of Lord Krishna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never place his foot on even a single stone of Govardhan Hill. He went to Haridev Temple. There before this beautiful deity of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced for hours. The residents of Govardhan came, and when they saw the beautiful dancing and the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya, they could understand that Giridhari Krishna has returned to Govardhan in the form of this beautiful, beautiful sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms and with great compassionate glances upon everyone, induced them all to join his kirtan, chanting the holy name. He went to Brahmakund, just on the banks of Manasi Ganga. And there Balabhadra Bhattacharya cooked prasad for him. He spent that night at Haridev Mandir. During the night he was thinking, I want so much to see Gopal, the deity that was installed by Madhavendra Puri. But his temple is on top of Govardhan Hill, and I cannot place my feet on the top of Krishna. So that very day, Gopal performed a wonderful pastime. He sent some villagers to the top of Govardhan Hill to say that there are Turkish soldiers. They are coming quickly to attack. Let us bring Gopal to a secret place. They brought him to a village called Gantuli. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this news, he went to Gantuli Gram. There he danced and chanted, worshipped Gopal to the fulfillment of all of his heart's desires for 3 days. Then they realized there was no Tokar soldiers anywhere around. There was a procession bringing Gopal back, and Lord Chaitanya was leading the procession, dancing and dancing and chanting the holy names until they came to Govardhan. When the deity and the procession came upon Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. He performed the Govardhan Parikrama, same way that we perform the Govardhan Parikrama. There is a beautiful story of how many years later, Rupa and Sanatan also wanted so much to see Gopal. So Gopal played the same trick that Turkish soldiers were coming. So they took him to Mathura, and Rupa Goswami and so many of the other Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, all of the great, great Gaudiya Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, they stayed in Mathura for one full month worshipping Sri Gopal before they brought him back to Sri Govardhan Hill. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Kamyavan. He bathed in Bimala Kund, saw the beautiful cave where Krishna where Vyomasura hid the children of Krishna. He went to Nandeshwar, where we went yesterday, Nandagaon. There he bathed in Pavan Sarovar. Shridas Kaviraj Goswami describes very affectionately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sacred bath in Sri Pavan Sarovar. Lord Chaitanya heard while he was in Nandagaon that in a cave on a mountain there were beautiful deities. So Lord Chaitanya went there. He actually discovered the deities of Nanda, Yashoda, Krishna, and Balaram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains, he bowed down with great affection to Nanda and Yashoda. Then he began to very lovingly touch the bodies of Krishna and Balaram. Later on, Sanatana Goswami actually installed those deities while he was living at Pavan Sarovar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Kadiravan. Kadiravan is a beautiful place. That is where Krishna killed Bakasura and had so many wonderful pastimes with the cowherd boys. He then went to Sheshashayi, that beautiful deity of Krishna, who, for the pleasure of the gopis, he assumed his beautiful form of Narayan laying on the Anantashesha. He went to Keli Tirtha, where Krishna and Balaram would have so many wonderful sporting games with their friends. Even the Brijabasis lived there for some time. Then he went to Bandiravan. He saw the Bandiravat. He worshipped that place and danced and chanted in great ecstasy. He went to Badravan. He went to Srivan. Srivan is the place where beautiful bale fruits grow. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna and Balaram and their friends would eat those bale fruits and sometimes even play games by throwing the bale fruits. And that is the place that Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she wanted so much to participate in Rasa-lila. She went to Srivan, which is also called Bilvavan or Balevan, and there she performed tapasya to gain entrance into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. But she was told, after long, long tapasya there, that if you want to enter Vrindavan pastimes, you have to give up your position as the goddess of fortune. Because Lakshmi Devi, her pure, unadulterated, ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord is with reverence. She knows he is the supreme master and lord of everything. Lakshmi was told by the gopis that you'll have to give up your position as Lakshmi and you'll have to take another birth as a gopi and milk cows and carry water and do all of these things. So Lakshmi was not given the opportunity to come into the Rasa-lila. But from Srivan, in her heart, she could see the beautiful Rasa-lila of Krishna and gopis here in Vrindavan Dham. Every 2 weeks, I believe it's on Ekadasi, there's a big, big feast that takes place at Srivan. And thousands of Brijabasis come every time to celebrate Krishna and Sri Radharani. They celebrate the supreme position of Sri Braj Bhumi. How even the goddess of fortune is longing and performing tapasya just to see a glimpse of the pastimes of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Lohavan and to Mahavan when he entered into Gokul and he saw the place where Krishna performed his beautiful, beautiful childhood pastimes, the birthplace of Krishna and Balaram. He was in great, great ecstasy of happiness. And when he saw that place where the twin Arjuna trees were broken down, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practically fell unconscious in love of Krishna. After doing this wonderful parikrama throughout the 12 forests of Braja, Mahaprabhu returned to Mathura. Chaitanya wanted to experience the seclusion of Vrindavan. After giving love of God to all these thousands of people, after inducing all of them to taste the nectar of the chanting of the holy names, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Mathura to come to a solitary place called Akrura Tirtha. This is the place that we are all sitting just now. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this his residence. Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan for 2 months. He came on the Kartik Purnima. Actually, this coming on November 4th is Kartik Purnima. Sarat Purnima was at the beginning of Kartik, and Kartik Purnima is the full moon at the end of Kartik. And it was on this day that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Vrindavan. It was on this day that Nimbarkacharya also appeared. And there's very, very wonderful, wonderful festivals that take place here on that day. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for approximately a month or so, he traveled through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, and for about a month he lived here at Akrura Tirtha. The first day he came, in the morning he went to Vrindavan, took his bath at the Kaliya Ghat. After bathing in Kaliya Ghat and remembering the wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, he went to Praskandana Ghat. There he bathed in the nectarine waters that were created by the perspiration of Krishna as the 12 sons of Aditya appeared as sun planets just to warm Krishna after his wonderful pastime of being in the Kaliya lake for so many hours. He then climbed upon the Dwadas Aditya Teal. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Keshi Tirtha, which we call Keshi Ghat. He remembered the wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna killing Keshi. He bathed in that water, and actually he spent the afternoon there at Keshi Ghat. Then he returned here to Akrura Tirtha in the evening. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he every morning he would rise from here and he would go to Chirgat. Chirgat, Lord Chaitanya would take his bath. Then he would go to Imli Tal, where there was ancient tamarind tree. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit there and chant the holy names for several hours every day. He would sit under this sacred tree, which was then on the bank of the holy river Jamuna. The cool breezes of the Jamuna would come upon the Lord and give him great pleasure. He would see the beauty of Braja, the beauty of the Jamuna, revealing herself before him. It was at Imli Tal that, at the time of Krishna's pastime, a wonderful incident took place. When Sri Radharani left the Ras Lila, Krishna was searching for Sri Radharani in great separation. He knew that Imli Tal was a very, very favorite tree of Srimati Radharani. So he went there searching for her. But he could not find. Lord Krishna sat under that tree and, feeling the ecstasy of separation from Srimati Radharani, he was so absorbed in the thought of her that his beautiful blue complexion transformed into the golden complexion of Sri Radhika Rani. At that time, Srimati Radharani and her friends came to Imli Tal, and they saw Krishna with a golden complexion. They asked Krishna, "Can you tell us why you are assuming this most extraordinary form?" Krishna told Sri Radharani and Gopis that, in separation from you, I became so absorbed that my complexion became your complexion, and my heart became your heart. I began to experience the supreme ecstasy of your love and separation from me. In the age of Kali Yuga, I will assume the same beautiful golden complexion of yours, with the same ecstatic love of yours in my heart, and I will distribute. I will distribute prema bhakti to everyone and anyone who will receive my mercy of the chanting of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radharani, he would sit under this Imli Tal tree and chant the holy names. As he was chanting the holy names, he began to feel intense separation from Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden form manifested, the blue monsoon rain cloud-like complexion of Lord Krishna. Either today or tomorrow, you will all have the good fortune of going to Imli Tal. It is a very small place. For all of you to go there, you would have to all perform animosity, becoming smaller than the smallest. But somehow we will arrange. Close to Imli Tal is the Samadhi Mandir of one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, who established on behalf of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati a beautiful Gaudiya Math there. There's deities of, I think it's Radha Gopina, and also Gornitai, and also a murti of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Close to Imli Tal, you will visit a beautiful place called Shingharbat. It was there that Krishna would decorate Srimati Radharani by giving her nice jewels and flowers from her hair and nice silken garments. He would personally decorate the body of Sri Radharani there in the evening. And in the day, the gopas would decorate Krishna with nice forest flowers and garlands and everything there. It is called Singharbat. And there's deities of Gornitai that you will see. And there is also a very nice temple with a picture of Krishna decorating Srimati Radharani. And behind that, there is an area like a little wall, and there's dust inside. And that is actually the place that the gopas would decorate Krishna and that Krishna would decorate Srimati Radharani. It is also called Nityananda Bhat because this place was a very favorite place of Sri Balaram. There is a tree there, very, very ancient tree. In fact, at this time, the original tree is just a stump of tree. But that is one of the great Kalpa Vriksha trees. When Nityananda Prabhu came to Vrindavan after traveling for 20 years through the holy places all over India, he resided at this Shingharbat in the mood of Lord Balaram. Nityananda Prabhu would be like a little child. He forgot all about eating or sleeping. He would just play with the cowherd boys and splash in the Jamuna and roll in the dust and herd the cows. And it was there at Nityananda Bhat that Nityananda Prabhu received the transcendental news within his heart that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from Gaya and he had established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So Nityananda Prabhu, from Nityananda Bhat, he went to Navadvip to help Sri Chaitanya spread the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the place of Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela, he rolled in the dust in great, great ecstatic love, worshipping that place. So it was Lord Chaitanya's daily regulation that he would rise from a Akrura Ghat, he would go to Chirghat to bathe, he would then go to Imlital and chant throughout the morning in a very, very secluded place, and then he would come back to Akrura Ghat each day to take his lunch. Soon, crowds and crowds of people started coming to Lord Chaitanya, even here at Akrura Ghat. So Lord Chaitanya would go to Imlital, which was very solitary to chant. Then he would come back here and he would spend the whole afternoon preaching to everyone to take to the chanting of the holy name. He would describe the glories of Harinam Sankirtan and induce everyone to chant. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spirit in Vrindavan. He was tasting the ecstasies of love of Krishna and he was inducing everyone to taste those same ecstasies through the chanting of the holy name. One day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Imlital chanting, a Brahmin of the name Krishnadas, actually he wasn't a Brahmin, but this, he was, I believe he was a Kshatriya. Rajput. So he came before Lord Chaitanya. Very learned and very, very saintly person. And when he saw the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting Hare Krishna at Imlital, he paid his obeisances, surrendering at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Who are you?" He replied, "I am a most fallen householder. But last night I had a dream that you would be here, so I have come to surrender to you." Lord Chaitanya then lifted him up and embraced him. As Krishnadas the Rajput was embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya infused ecstatic love within his heart. Rajput Krishnadas then left his family, left his wealth, left his home, everything to serve Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And wherever Lord Chaitanya go, he would follow him back here to Akrura Ghat to render very menial, humble service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the afternoons as well as in the evenings, Lord Chaitanya would reside here at Akrura Tirtha. One day, some of the villagers of Vrindavan came to Lord Chaitanya and said, "Did you hear the news? Krishna has appeared in Vrindavan again. He's dancing every night on the hoods of Kaliya at Kaliya Ghat in the lake near the river Jamuna." People were coming again and again with this good news. One day, Balabhadra Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya's permission. He said, "Can I go to Kaliya Ghat to see Krishna dancing?" Lord Chaitanya mercifully slapped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and he said, "You are a scholar, but you have become a fool due to the influence of fools." This is very interesting. This is such an important lesson. Please wake up and hear. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, he had a servant. Who remembers his name? Kala Krishna Das. He was such a nice servant, so attentive to serve every one of Lord Chaitanya's needs. However, when they were in the southern provinces of India, Kala Krishna Das, somehow or other, even as a servant of the Lord, had a little association with the Bhataharis. Do you all remember the Bhataharis? What do you remember about Bhataharis? Everyone say together what you remember. Huh? They were rascals. They were terrible sense enjoyers, but they were mystics. They had some powers, and they would disguise themselves as sannyasis just to somehow or other seduce young women to join their camp. And they would do all sorts of misbehavior with these women and use them to try to bring other people to their camp. And then they would put the mystic spells on these people. So, Kau Krishnadas left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at night without saying anything to join the Bhataharis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very, very merciful, he came there and told Bhattacharis that he is my servant, I am sannyasi, you are also sannyasis, so please be sympathetic and give my servant back. They came to attack him with weapons, but the weapons came out of their hands and attacked them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed Kau Krishnadas by the hair. Come back. And saved him. So, Lord Srila Prabhupada explains, even if you are the direct associate and servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya is so strong if you are not very... Can everyone hear?
No.
Can everyone hear now? Everyone? Even if one of the personal associate and servant of the Supreme Lord being inattentive and having bad association, very dangerous. This is the power of association of Maya. And here we find the next servant of Lord Chaitanya, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. When they were traveling through Jarikanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising Balabhadra. You are giving me such happiness. There is no inconvenience even traveling through these jungles because of your wonderful service to me. I can never repay you. But due to inattentiveness and material association, Balabhadra Bhattacharya became bewildered. Lord Chaitanya said, you have become a fool because you have listened to fools. So what is our position? So we should be very careful not to listen to fools. However advanced you think you are, if you listen to fools, you become fool. That is the power of Maya. That is how careful we must be about our association. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not allow him to go. The next morning, some respectable people came to Akrura Ghat. And Lord Chaitanya asked, have you heard about this Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hood? He said, yeah, we heard all this nonsense. We already checked it out. There's a fisherman who has a boat. He puts lanterns on his boats and he goes fishing at night in the Jamuna, near Kaliya Ghat. These foolish village people, they think that the fisherman is Krishna. They think that his boat is Kaliya, and they think that the lanterns on the boat are Kaliya's flaming jewels on his head. But they said then, but actually, Krishna has returned to Vrindavan, because you are a sannyasi. Om Namo Narayana. Lord Chaitanya explained, never think like this. He began to speak from Gita. Mamayam so jiva loke jiva bhuta shanat. The jiva soul can never become Narayan. The jiva soul is eternally the servant of Narayan. We are all eternally part and parcel of Krishna. And our ultimate destination is to serve Krishna. It was here at Akruragat that these great Brahmins, by the mercy of the Lord, they understood. What you are saying is true. No one can become Krishna. But we know who you are. Just as if you take musk and wrap it in cloth, still everyone will know that there's musk under that cloth because of its fragrance. Similarly, although you are covered by this beautiful golden complexion, we can understand that inside is the beautiful blackish form Shyam Sundar, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his opulences to those Brahmins and revealed to them his supreme identity as Shyam Sundar, the supreme personality of Godhead. One day, actually what happened is Lord Chaitanya was delivering so many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in the Harinam Sankirtan movement that there were so many crowds around. And the Sanodiya Brahmin was introducing Lord Chaitanya to so many other Brahmins. And every day Brahmins were inviting Lord Chaitanya to lunch. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was the one who had to deal with all of the invitations. There were Brahmins from South India, Brahmins from all different places coming. So many invitations. And anyone who Balabhadra Bhattacharya had to refuse became very, very sad at heart. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was thinking, what am I supposed to do? Because a devotee is soft-hearted. A devotee wants to please everyone. But in this world, how can you please everyone? It's very difficult. This is the great anxiety of great Vaishnavas like Giriraj Maharaj. Somehow he wants to give ecstatic love of God and make each and every one of you feel like you're the only person in his life. But it's very difficult in this world. So, one day here at a Kurukshetra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the bank of the river Jamuna. As he was looking in Jamuna, he began to think, this is the same place that Akrura saw Vaikuntha. This is the same place that Krishna revealed to the residents of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. In the ecstasy of the remembrance of this pastime, which took place here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped in the river Jamuna and went underwater for a long time. Somehow Krishna Das happened to see him jump in and disappear. He told Balabhadra Bhattacharya, they dove in after him and somehow or other found him under the Jamuna's waters and pulled him back to the shore. After this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya went to the Sanodiya Brahman in a secluded place and said that I'm very much worried. Very much worried. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasies at Vrindavan is so unpredictable. Today he jumped in the river Jamuna and by good fortune we happened to see him. If we were not there, he would have drowned. I think that we should leave this place. The Sanodiya Brahman agreed that you should appeal to Lord Chaitanya directly. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said to him that my Lord, so many Brahmins are inviting you and so many are harassing me. My mind is very much disturbed. I think we should leave Vrindavan and go to Prayag, because now it is the month of Magh, and there is a wonderful Mela at Prayag. To bathe in the Jamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati is very auspicious. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted so dearly to remain in Vrindavan. He did not want to go. But Lord Chaitanya's love for his devotee is always the first thing in his heart. He said to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, "You have brought me here to show me Vrindavan. I am indebted to you. I shall not be able to repay you. Whatever you desire, I must do. Wherever you take me, I shall go." The next morning, from here to Krura Ghat, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sanodiya Brahman, Krishna Das, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya boarded a boat and went to Mahavan. And from there, they traveled to Prayag. This beautiful narration by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains a drop of the ocean of the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Sri Vrindavan town. It was here at Sri Akrura Tirtha that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his residence. How ultimately holy a place like this is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home in Vrindavan. So let us, with very, very grateful heart, pray at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we can be true, genuine recipients of his causeless mercy. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada came into our lives to give us the merciful association of Lord Chaitanya and all of those great devotees who are in Lord Chaitanya's entourage. And what did Lord Chaitanya come to give us? He came to give us entrance, direct entrance into the divine pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan through participating in his Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya ordered that we hear about Krishna, we chant the names of Krishna, we serve the Vaishnavas, and that we preach this great gift that he has given us according to our capacity to the world, whether we are Hanumans or whether we are little spiders. We should adhere very carefully to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and we should try to preach this message to others. It is through this divine process that we will receive his full mercy of Krishna Prema. We have come to Akrura Tirtha to beg for Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy. What was Mahaprabhu's business in Vrindavan? To taste the nectar of Krishna's pastimes and to distribute them to everyone through such a simple and wonderful process. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami does not explain Lord Chaitanya discussing such very high transcendental topics with the people that came to see him. He gave them all love of God through Harinam Sankirtan. Everything is in the holy name of Krishna. This is the teaching of Mahaprabhu. To hear and to chant the glorious pastimes of Krishna is our sacred service. But it will all be realized when we can offenselessly and purely please Krishna by following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching of always chanting the holy name. By the adherence to this verse of being humble like the blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, willing to offer all respect to others and expect none in return by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Sri Guru and Gauranga, we can chant the holy names constantly. That is our prayer. So let us all roll in the dust of Sri Akrura Tirtha with dandavat obeisances and beg, pray for this mercy, that we may have hearts so humble and sincere that we can receive this mercy of Lord Chaitanya and share it with others. Srila Prabhupada ki. At this very moment, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and I have to enter into a different mood because it is 10:30 is the beginning of the ICC GBC management meeting. So while all of you are happily dancing and chanting through the groves of Vrindavan, we beg you to kindly offer a prayer for our well-being to save us. Please save us. Hare Krishna. We'll be having prasad here, and from here you will all walk to Bhatro, this beautiful temple here. The story from Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Brahmins' wives, they brought the bhoga to Krishna and Balaram and their friends. Krishna asked the friends to go to the Brahmins. With the Brahmins, very learned, very expert in all of their rituals. They were so proud that they were so immersed in their ritualistic performances of chanting mantras and doing ceremonies that they would not give anything to Krishna. But the simple, humble wives brought the best of everything. In this way, this story demonstrates how it is simple, innocent devotion that pleases Krishna and nothing else. This is the very place that the Brahmin's wives received the darshan of Krishna Balaram and were given love of God and offered their hearts and souls to Krishna. Now there are many thorns on the path. So those of you who don't mind, you can go. And those of you who would like to go more comfortably, you may wear your shoes on this occasion. From Bhatro, you will see the beautiful place. Who would like to tell this story while you are there? Shyamananda Prabhu? Krishnananda Prabhu. He who always takes bliss in talking about Krishna. Krishnananda Prabhu will narrate the story of the wives of the Brahmins' innocent and pure surrender to Krishna. You should pray there for that simplicity. No pride, no politics, it ruins everything. Just remain simple and humble. From there you will be taking buses to the 64 samadhis of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That was the place where Raghunath Bhatta Goswami performed his bhajan. You will see there the various types of samadhis of 64 of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. From there you will go into the Ranganath Mandir, one of the very beautiful South Indian temples, the most beautiful of all South Indian temples in Vrindavan. It's very famous. But only those who were born in India will be allowed in. From the Ranganath temple, you'll board your buses again and come to Dhavanala Kund. After Krishna danced upon Kaliya's heads, he and the Brijavasis took rest there that night, and in the middle of the night they were enveloped by a huge, enormous forest fire surrounding them in all directions. And they all turned to Krishna to save them. It was at Dhavanala Kund that Krishna
swallow the fire with one breath. Hare Krishna. It's a very sacred place. Please pray at Bhavanala Kund that Krishna may kindly extinguish the fire of material desires from your heart. From Bhavanala Kund, you will return to Fogla Ashram to take prasad. Hare Krishna. And then after prasad, I believe Dinabandhu Prabhu will take you around to other places of Vrindavan. And I will be back in the ICC GBC. But at least Giriraj Maharaj will be there to give you shelter. Well, thank you very much. Now you are on your own. Hare Krishna.